Patrick, let's start with the 30-second bio, if we can. Who is Patrick Burke?
I'm an Erie County legislator. I've served there for the last 4 years. I've gotten a lot of things done with very little resources and serving in the minority caucus. I wrote the first microbeads plastic ban in the country. I wrote the conversion therapy bill that got national attention. I secured $1 million for the opioid epidemic. I wrote the Mimosa resolution. I've done a lot in the last 4 years. And I'm really proud of that work. And outside of that, you know, I'm a dad to three kids between the ages of 7 and 11 and husband to a wonderful wife.
What did you do before you were a legislator?
So I did a couple of things. Unfortunately, as I was coming up, was when the Great Recession was hit. So I was working for a not-for-profit on a grant, studying predatory lending trends that because that didn't work out because of the economy. I went and started bartending at the Buffalo Irish Center, which is funny because it pays a lot more than not-for-profit positions and a lot more, I think, than what a legislator makes too.
What do you think is the biggest issue right now in the district? In the district, not statewide.
In this assembly district? You know, it's boring. It sounds boring. But so many of my initiatives have been based on water quality and understanding that this is a Great Lakes city. And I think our future and our economy is going to be based on the quality of our water. We've invested tons of money in getting to the waterfront and building up the waterfront. But now you can get there and you can stare at water that's not so clean. So it's boring, but it's, you know, non-point source water pollution, which is coming from sewers. And it's also a huge tax burden because municipalities like West Seneca have to invest in all this gray infrastructure and they just don't have the money.
Same question, but with a statewide focus. What is the biggest issue the state faces right now?
You know, it's hard to limit it to just one. There's quite a few. We're obviously going to have potential budget shortfalls because of federal tax cuts, and that's going to hurt the state of New York, and it's going to hurt local municipalities. But for me, my instinct is that election law and campaign finance reform is desperately needed. Our politics are bad here. We essentially have Tammany Hall era politics in New York State, and that has to change.
What do we need? What do you want to see in terms of change of the election laws?
Oh, certainly. Fusion voting is a major problem, gives disproportionate amount of power to small groups. It also allows, we have candidates who can run under a banner of things they don't believe in, which doesn't really reflect the true nature of the platforms of the organizations they're running under. We have campaign, finance issues where, you have limited liability corporations that can funnel tons and tons of money into candidates. You can essentially have a very wealthy individual set up 20 LLCs and then max out through all of them to candidates. It's not fair. It's against the spirit of the law, and it should change.
What needs to be done in New York State involving any change or with economic development or address jobs if you can?
Certainly. So as an Erie County legislator, I wrote the Invest in Erie bill, which in large part was about economic development. So we have, major problems, statewide and locally when it comes to economic development and the vision that some state officials have. For me, as a county legislator, I've focused on building up our economy, diversifying our economy, and ensuring that we have proper interactions. Our companies here locally have opportunities to be competitive and to develop themselves. So what I really want to see is companies here locally building themselves up. I see a major problem of us using public resources and tax dollars to try and essentially beg companies to come here. We have our own innovations. That's really what Buffalo has been about. We invented, it doesn't seem like a big deal, but we invented, the windshield wiper, which was a major industry because it happened here. We need to invest in our companies and our intellectual property here. I love 43 North because of that, and we need a lot more of that.
Are you okay with what some people call corporate welfare, using tax dollars to subsidize or even support a business?
Generally, no. So how it is now, no. I come from a working class, maybe even, frankly, we grew up very poor, and we didn't get many helping hands. So the idea, I think, if companies are strong enough to survive on their own, they shouldn't be getting tax inducements to do things. And we see that now all the time. You know, I just became a member, a board member on the ECIDA, and that is a lot of the conversation.
That's what they exist for, almost, really.
Sort of. No. So, but the problem is when you have companies who don't actually need these inducements and they utilize them anyway. Mm-hmm. It's when you have companies and when you have an economic environment that might need some help and some structures in development support, which is, I think those are good things. But when you have companies who just make it sort of basically a part of their bottom line all the time, that's when it becomes a real problem.
After economics, it seems as if the state legislature often deals with social issues, anything from guns and the SAFE Act to abortion.
Sure.
Is there anything in particular there that you would want to change or even emphasize?
Right. I guess one of the things I was known for here locally was my ban on gay conversion therapy, which is also known as the Pence Bill. And I had to do that here because the state failed to do that. So I think that there's a good chance that I will take that to the state level.
The biggest job often, at least I think from the public perception, the biggest job that state lawmakers seem to have is dealing with the state budget.
Right.
Two-part question here. What is the one thing the state should fund that maybe it doesn't? And if you were in Albany right now, what one thing would you absolutely cut from the existing budget?
Ooh, those are good questions. It might take me a moment to actually think about that.
Sure. It goes to priorities.
Right. One thing that I would probably strongly, which I plan on strongly bringing up, is the stock transfer tax rebate. So currently New York State collects a small tax on each transfer of a stock. And then we take what amounts to between, $16 and $20 billion and rebates it right back. So when we have budget shortfalls and we have all of these problems, you say, well, wait a minute. You just taxed essentially around nearly roughly $20 billion and then just gave it back to, hedge fund managers. So when we talk about budget shortfalls and what should be cut and what should be funded, I want that to be part of the conversation is, we have the money. We just give it back to the rich guys.
Along those lines, are New York State taxes too high?
I think nobody likes taxes. I mean, it depends on... Let me see. People's taxes are too high. So New York State residents' taxes are too high. Often it's based on their school taxes and a list of other taxes. Are there New York State specific taxes? Because I think those things get people don't think about it that way. They throw everything together and say my taxes are too high, and then they hear buzzwords like New York State's taxes are too high. But what they're talking about is New York State's taxes cumulative. So their municipality, their county, and their school taxes, which are incredibly, incredibly high. So in that regard, yes.
All right. Now, the other half of the budget question is, what one thing is in the budget that you're really glad is in the budget that you think the state should continue to do?
I will have to consider just going through my head I'm always still thinking of things right now as a county legislator. And what things that I know, we need and that we need as a municipality that, I didn't negotiate the budget, so it's hard to go from a county official to things that I absolutely need to stay in the budget. I could only keep on thinking of things that they don't have enough money for. So we need to pay more for schools. We need to pay more for sewer infrastructure. Some of the development pieces are important. So that's really where I am with that.
What is the biggest difference between you and your opponent?
I have a track record of accomplishment, and it's not to, say anything bad about my opponent, but I think, he's starting from zero and jumping to a pretty high elected office, and I think, I'm really proud of the things I've done in the Erie County Legislature, and I think I've set myself apart in that body with the level of work I've done that's, you know, often receives statewide or national recognition. And so, you know, while my opponent seems like a good guy, I think starting from scratch to go to state assembly without any opportunities to navigate, you know, different government structures and the politics of it, I think separates us more than anything.
In advance of this interview, I asked him to provide a question that he would want me to ask you, and I'll give you the chance to do the same with him.
Sure.
And he said, have Patrick address the support he gets, if any, from Carl Paladino. It's been an issue that's been raised in advertising.
Sure.
Supporters of yours, not you per se, but supporters of yours have been trying to tie him to Paladino in a negative way. But he said, wait a minute, we have to look here at the support that Burke gets from Paladino. Do you get support from Paladino?
No. So, me and Carl had a okay relationship where, there was sort of a line, and he crossed the Rubicon, and then we ceased to have a relationship. Essentially, when he called the first African American First Lady of this country a gorilla, I confronted him directly and told him that he should resign and that I would call on him to resign. And I believe I was the only elected official from South Buffalo to do that. And then we've ceased to have a relationship. So where we had sort of a arm's length relationship where I would take his support, then he crossed the line and I ceased to accept any support from him.
Do you disavow, even though they didn't come from you, do you disavow the ads that have been supportive of you trying to link your opponent to him?
Oh, so I disavow those specific ads, but I don't disavow the links that and the political benefits that my opponent takes from Carl Paladino and still takes from Carl Paladino. And, you know, so it's funny, cause folks on, like, my actual political team are always wanting me to, you know, be more aggressive against, my opponent, Eric Bowen, and Carl Paladino. And I'm always just saying, like, no, we don't need to do that. Like, I have enough of a record. You know, people want to hear about my ideas. They want to hear about what I've done and who I am. I don't need to trash my opponent and go after him. But the reality is that he continuously is denying a political relationship with Carl Paladino. He's done it in front of, when me and him went to the BTF, we had to go together and kind of not a debate, but a back and forth. And he kept saying, I have no political relationship with Carl Paladino. I have no political relationship with Carl Paladino. And, you know, eventually I had to stand up and say, like, you know, while I haven't brought this up, that's just not true. He was his campaign manager. He's taking money from him. He's still taking money from him. He's still taking political support. And I would also say the Republican Party and the conservatives don't know Eric Bowen very well. He publicly said he was going to caucus with the Democrats. They're paying for his mail. They're sending out mail on his behalf. They're sending out attack ads against me. And they're all doing that just because...
To be clear, when you say they, who do you mean?
The Republican Assembly Campaign Committee. And those are also coordinated because, you know, they have his high-resolution photos. You know, they didn't get those by accident. So what's happening here is you have, you know, an outside group... I'm assuming it's coming from labor organizations, sending out mail that's probably in an effort to help me, but it is an independent expenditure, which I have no connection or communication to. Eric's campaign has not been as active as I would have thought. So he jumped up and started yelling about this, about a mailer between him and Carl Paladino, while he was sending out negative, like, hit pieces against me. So it's just, you know, this is part of their, clearly a part of their campaign strategy is to say they, you know, basically play the victim while they're attacking.
Talk a little bit about something you raised there, the idea that you are a registered Democrat, you're the endorsed Democrat.
Yeah.
But he's running with Republican support and is also simultaneously a Democrat. Does that bother you?
So that doesn't bother me because, you know, I'm a Democrat, but I consider myself pretty independent. I mean, I would never run as a Republican because especially now considering what I see to be, sort of overt you know, negative attacks and from the Republicans against, you know, our country, the Republican Party, I would say, and Republicans in top leadership positions. So I would never do it. My bigger problem is that, you know, again, I'm trying to just run on my record and not engage with my opponent in any way, but he's going, I know he's going to, you know, when he's talking to voters, he'll go to Democrats and say, I'm a Democrat, you know, and then he won't mention any of the other stuff. And then he'll go to Republicans and he'll say, I'm running on the Republican conservative line. So it's not that it doesn't bother me what he's doing per se. It bothers me that he's talking to both sets of voters in a different way, in representing himself in a way that's not accurate. And then I have to debate whether I should go out of my way to clarify that to voters, because I think in part it's my job to tell voters, you know, what's happening, or if I just keep pushing forward with a positive agenda. And I would say, you know, 99.9% of the time, aside from a direct question like this, I just keep pushing forward with a positive agenda.
Closing remarks. If this was a debate, I guess it would be a closing statement, but we're not sitting here with a podium and a script. Give me just a sense of why you want people to vote for you.
Well, I would say I got into politics because I hated politics. That sounds weird. But, you know, there's a good quote from Plato, and it says, those who refuse to participate in politics are destined to be ruled by their inferiors. And so that's why I got involved in this. It's not for my name on the door. My record of work, I think speaks for itself. You know, you don't get things done in a Republican majority as a Democrat unless you worked really, really hard. I used, getting a major environmental protection done with Republicans was a lot of work. It required me to go into Republican districts, build constituencies in those districts. Like, I know how to do this. I know how to get things done. And I really believe in what I'm doing, and it's my honor to be in this position and to help as many people as possible. And I will do the same on a larger scale once I'm in the New York State Assembly.